Communism promises wonderful things. It promises us equality and everyone working the same amount and sharing in the spoils of our labors, and everyone's equal, everyone's the same. There is no social or economic or environmental injustice. There's no need for private property or this or that. But you know what communism really is? It's nothing but slavery, my friends. Nothing but slavery to the state. This week on If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, we're going to be talking a little bit about history and what caused the war between the states, just a tad bit. We're going to get into the need for death panels liberals are saying we have now. First they say there were no death panels, now they say we need the death panels. They insisted there never was. We're going to look at some of the most despicable tragedy pimping over these tornadoes that ravaged the South recently by the green Nazis. We'll look at a U.S. attorney that seems to want to surrender and bend over for Sharia law. Talking a little bit about nanny states. We're going to be talking about how you can be observant. And we're going to talk about the biggest Marxist moron in the history of mankind, one James Earl Carter, Jimmy the Peanut Man. All that starts right about, let's say now, folks. Right here on Chimpsy Radio. Remember our Facebook page. Remember to come into Chatango and listen to our shows, and you can chat with us. You want to debate me? You're a liberal. You want to take me on? You really want to go down that street? Go to Chatango while my show plays every Monday evening, and we'll get into it. And I'll show you why you are wrong. Now, this is something I wanted to get into a couple weeks ago. There were some other stories I ended up putting ahead of it. And you're never going to hear me reference the website, the blog, Think Progress, because, well, it's a left-wing cesspool. But there's a writer there, Matthew Iglesias. No, not the singer. He's a blogger, a writer, and not a very good one, but he writes something very interesting about the war between the states. He writes, "I've always thought there was something about the Lincoln administration's determination to fight and win the Civil War that was a bit odd. Secession gave the regionally based Republican Party large congressional majorities that wouldn't exist if Southern states had representation in Congress. Excuse me. What's more, the Republican Party's controversial policy objective of banning slavery from the Western territories could have been easily achieved by the much more modest policy of simply ensuring military control over the territories. Some fighting in border states such as Maryland, Tennessee, Missouri, and Kentucky is easy to understand, but why try to reconquer the Deep South? In an interesting new paper, Zachary Liskow suggests economic motives were at the root. Well, I'm shocked to know that economic motives were at risk. I've been saying this for years. I've been studying the war for a long time, since I was 9 years old. So about 36 years now, and it soon became apparent to me that slavery really wasn't the root cause of the war. Now, this Liskow fellow writes, specifically using voting patterns as representations of the northern population's preferences, this paper tests empirically whether the economic motivations of its manufacturing interests might have been important components of northerners' support of the decision to fight. The hypothesis that the North had economic motivations for keeping the South in the Union yields a specific prediction. Counties with relatively large amounts of these manufacturing interests should shift their votes from Democrats to Republicans between 1860 and 1864. Now, the thing is this. If you want to know the money quote, let's go to Abraham Lincoln. In 1848, I believe it was, Lincoln said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not a direct quote, that any people at any time held the right to throw off their government and form a new one if they chose. Now, those views by Lincoln obviously changed between 1848 and 1861, when he chose to crush by force the right to self-government for the South. And there's another quote by Lincoln. Many Northerners were happy to let the South go. Just let them go. Why do we bother? Lincoln said simply, where will we get our revenues? This money, this war, like all wars, was eventually about money. There were other factors at play. A lot of the new Republican Party wanted to do away with slavery. Very anti-Southern sentiment in other ways, not just over slavery. But if you really get down to it, it didn't come down to slavery. It came down to changing what the country was. The ultimate price paid for the South losing was state sovereignty died. And we've been having problems in this country ever since then. If you want to know one of the worst things ever done to this country, go to Abraham Lincoln and how he treated the South. Now, I don't know what would have happened had the South seceded. I think it probably would have been better off if there never would have been secession. Lincoln never would have been elected, and slavery would have died of its own perverse sickness. But too many people look at the issue of slavery and that they're morally outraged by it because it's a detestable, despicable thing, and it's a shame and a black mark on this country that ever existed. But they look at that and they say, well, the war ended slavery by one means or another. So ultimately, everything about the war was about slavery. Therefore, the South was bad, the North was good. Well, I'll say this. No other U.S. president ever had had the feeling that he had the right to do away with habeas corpus, to shut down newspapers, to throw people in prison for disagreeing with his administration. That's nothing to be proud of. For all you Lincoln fans out there, we'll get into that at some other time more in depth. But it's interesting that these things start to come out in history, that it was more about economics than slavery. There were other things at play, both for the South and the North. And now, on to the rest of the show. On to death panels. You remember that Sarah Palin, probably most of all, but a lot of conservatives, were ripped by the media, by the left. There's no death panels on Obamacare. universal health care has nothing to do with death panels or rationing health care or making decisions based on people's age or physical condition or anything like that. No, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen. One of the leading voices for that line of thought was Cynthia Tucker from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And she had a column out back on April 20th. And the title might surprise you liberals listening. It said, yes, we need death panels. This morning, she writes, my colleague Jay Bookman had a very thoughtful post on why, listen closely, folks, listen closely to the liberal talking. It's not me. I'm just quoting the stupid liberal here. Jay Bookman had a very thoughtful post on why rationing health care, death panels, she has in parentheses, if you will, is quite necessary. Did you hear what she wrote? Death panels are necessary. Rationing health care is necessary. She wrote on a similar subject in her Sunday column, and this is some of what she said. If we keep spending our health care dollars disproportionately on the elderly, we will have little left to spend on children. That makes for an upside down society that cannot thrive for long. Did you hear that, folks? You death panel deniers? Did you hear that? This is a liberal saying, yes, we need to kill old people so that younger people can have better health care. There's only so much health care dollars to go around, so we have to ration it. I happen to think that the entire column is worth reading, but if your time and patience are short, focus on the graphs in which my brother, a Boston kidney doctor, talks about dialysis for the elderly who are already dying. I want you liberals to listen close. I want you conservatives with liberal friends to go out there and make your liberal friends read this. Listen to this podcast and read this. Her brother, the kidney doctor, writes, if resources are limited, and they are, the nation needs to make choices, some more painful than others. My brother Kevin, a Boston physician who treats kidney disease, talks about the Medicare program that pays for dialysis for anyone with failing kidneys. How outrageous. Including the terminally ill. You know, Cynthia Tucker sounds like she just wants to take the terminally ill out and shoot them in the head. Yeah, terminally ill, what do you want? You're a waste of time and money. Get out of here. We don't care if you're suffering. If you're suffering, here's a cyanide tablet. That's liberal compassion for you. And that's socialized medicine for you. Now, this program started in the 1970s to help adults still in the workforce. Its fastest growing population is now over 65. And it costs tens of billions a year. Here is a compassionate liberal, folks, Cynthia Tucker, writing about how it's such a waste to treat people who are terminally ill or elderly or maybe not in the best of health. It may not be the best use of resources for the frail and infirm elderly. And it also forces many elderly patients to spend their last days in the hospital rather than at home. A more comfortable setting, Kevin told me. Well, I hope this son of a bitch is never my kidney doctor, I tell you that. Doesn't sound like much of a doctor to me. But Tucker concludes, yet many patients, even octogenarians, for people who graduate from Florida State, that's people in their 80s, who don't expect to recover, find it difficult to turn down the treatment. crazy 80-year-old people. Yeah, I want to live longer. How dare you? Don't you know the children need those tax dollars for their health care? You greedy old bastard, why don't you just die? That's what Cynthia Tucker's saying. And physicians resist having a conversation with patients that recommends they forego dialysis because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. It's easier just to recommend a treatment, he said. But those are exactly the adult conversations we ought to be having, Tucker concludes. So we ought to have doctors counseling people to you know, you don't really need this. You're 81, you're sick, maybe you're terminally ill. Why don't you just do us all a favor and go into an alley behind us and die? That's liberal compassion. And that's the damn truth about the proponents of Obamacare. Everything that we said on the right is being proven by what the left is letting slip out now. This is about death panels. This is about controlling healthcare costs, rationing healthcare, and government controlling everything we do. Speaking of the government controlling everything we do, do you have contraband in your home? You have possibly an illegal substance in your home. Maybe you have something called raw milk in your home. Maybe you got it from a Pennsylvania farm run by those evil Amish people. As I wrote on my blog just yesterday, in fact, an unbelievable story that truly illustrates how far down the road of slavery to the state we are. A year-long sting operation, including aliases, a 5 a.m. surprise inspection, and cannot say this word. It's just one of those words. For some reason, my mind and mouth cannot make work. Surreptitious purchases from an Amish farm in Pennsylvania culminated in the federal government announcing this week that it has gone to court, using more of your tax dollars, to stop Rainbow Acre Farms from selling its contraband to willing customers in the Washington area. The product in question, unpasteurized milk, which is also called raw milk. Now, you have people who want to drink this. They prefer it for whatever reason. I've never drank unpasteurized milk. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know what the health risks are or aren't. But these are adults who want to buy this product that someone else makes and sells. Is it really the business of governments to spend all this time and effort, energy, and money on all these aliases and to bust the Amish farmers? Now, the government will tell you that this is not safe. The FDA says raw milk can carry harmful bacteria such as Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria. Trust me, you don't want to get any of those, particularly E. coli. But it's a risk that people assume every day. If you go to the store right now and buy ground beef, and you don't cook it to 165 degrees, or is it 155 degrees, for a certain period of time, I believe 30 seconds to a minute. If you don't cook that ground beef all the way through, you could get E. coli. You could die. But are we going to have the government next coming in and shopping with us and then coming home and saying, well, that's ground beef. If it's ground sirloin, you can eat it medium rare, but if it's ground beef, you can't. We're going to watch you cook it. We're going to take the temperature. I mean, how far does the nanny state want to reach into our lives? And as I wrote on my blog also, this is what folks say. If it just saves one life, if it's for our own good, I'd like to slap people who say those things. They're so stupid. But to those folks, I say simply, what other things do you wish the government to save us from? Why not ban two-story homes? After all, people die every year falling down their stairs. Tens of thousands die in car crashes. Why not ban cars? People choke to death. Why not mandate that everyone eat pureed food only? Seriously, people, either we are free or we are not. And this story is not one that should ever be told in a land of liberty. It is pathetic and despicable that the federal government, even a state government, is involved in things like this. Where is our liberty gone, really? Now, speaking of milk, it reminded me of a story that Ed Daly put on our blog. That's the Daily Gator, the dailygator.wordpress.com. Daly spelled D-L-E-L-E-Y for Ed Daly. And from the PotomacLocal.com, a shocking crime. Shocking. Shocking to the human community, the Walmart community, and the cow community. From North Stafford, Virginia. Perhaps he was thirsty. Or it was because he never got enough calcium as a child. Or maybe he had a thing for dressing like a farm animal. We're not talking about Barney Frank, by the way. Whatever the reason, Stafford's sheriff's authorities say a man donned a cow costume and not walked, but crawled, because cows crawl, I guess, into a Walmart store on Garrisonville Road in North Stafford at 10:35 p.m. last Tuesday. Authorities say he found a shopping cart and then pushed it to the milk aisle. Oh, you see where this is leading, don't you? Now on 2 feet, security guards inside the store say the upright cow was caught on videotape placing 26 gallons of milk, about $92 worth, of the moo cow juice into a shopping cart and then rolled it out of the store. A manager called 911 to report the larceny that was caught on videotape. At one point, someone reported a man in a cow suit was trying to give away the the milk to customers. A sheriff's deputy took a police report shortly thereafter, was then called to a disturbance at a McDonald's restaurant across the street. So, I guess cows are not as important as domestic disturbances. 3 cars awaited the deputy in the parking lot of the fast food joint, and when he began questioning, he noticed one man looked similar to a person he had just seen on video wearing a cow costume, liberating the milk. The deputy brought the man back to the Walmart store where he was identified as the cow culprit. Jonathan Payton, 18, of North Stafford, was issued a summons for shoplifting and was released on his own recognizance. As for the milk, a store manager found it sitting in a shopping cart outside the store. The cow costume was also recovered. Rumor is that Barney Frank wants to buy the cow costume for some purpose we don't really need to talk about, probably. Now, have you ever wondered, you listen to the pundits on TV, the talking heads, and you read the columns from the, you know, these nationally syndicated columnists, and many of them are very good, but there's some you just go, how'd they get their job? I knew that. That's not that special. Well, as I wrote on my blog recently, all it takes is to be a tad observant. And you too can figure out the sad truth about the left and soaring gas prices. Now, there's a writer, I'll try to pronounce his name correctly, David Harsanyi, calls it like it is. The left's energy initiatives of the past decade, the entire purpose of energy policy, in fact, have been aimed at artificially driving fossil fuel prices up to incentivize the bitter clingers to embrace the government's utopian energy schemes. No secret has been made of it. In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked by CNBC's John Harwood, "So could the high oil prices help us?" This is Obama's answer. "I think that I would have preferred a gradual adjustment. Sudden spikes are bad, politically speaking, but gradual price spikes, helpful." That same year, current U.S. Energy Secretary, then a Saini professor, Stephen Chu, clarified that somehow we have to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to the levels in Europe. Translation, this administration wants to screw us. Better still, they don't just want to punish Americans for the nerve of having cars and plastic things and man-made heating sources in our homes and stuff. No, they want to do all that while lying to folks that these draconian wallet-killing job-shredding measures will help the precious, whittle, delicate environment. That's exactly right. And of course, they also wish, and they're doing this, to use these prices to blame big oil. Obama promised recently he would go after anyone who's gouging prices, who's these speculators, anybody artificially driving up the price of gas, he'll go after, when it's really his policies that are doing it more than anything. But what do they gain by that? Well, they further their Marxist-inspired class warfare rhetoric. Prices are high, something left not only wants but causes, and then they blame those greedy damn capitalists. So how really easy is political analysis? See, I did that all by myself. I figured that out long ago. I didn't need a talking head on TV. And that's why so many on the mainstream media loathe us bloggers. Bloggers expose the truth. We do not really need all those talking heads on TV and all those established columnists either. We can and do break down policies as well, and often better than they do, because we're not consumed with the BS. Oftentimes, we're more consumed with, well, just getting the truth out, really. Now, there's a couple stories. I get to one before and then one after the music tonight. And this is a disturbing story. I've never understood the left. They are so obsessed with appeasement. Go back to Chamberlain, trying to kiss Hitler's ass and appease him. Where did it get him? Where did it get Neville Chamberlain? Where did it get Europe? Where did it get England? Where did it get anybody? Nowhere. It never does. You cannot appease those terrorists attacking Israel on a daily basis. You cannot appease Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist group. You couldn't appease Stalin. You couldn't appease Mao. You couldn't appease Pol Pot. There's no appeasing brutal dictators. And there's no way you're ever going to appease Sharia-loving Muslims, radical Muslims, because Sharia law is draconian, it is evil, it is satanic, it is despicable, it is detestable, and it is completely, completely antithetical to all of the natural rights and free will that the good Lord gave us. But the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri, Richard Callahan, doesn't see it that way. He visited the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis recently to address the fears and frustrations of Muslim Americans who were there being racially profiled and wiretapped, and to assure them that the Missouri legislature's attempts to ban Sharia law from being considered in state courts here could face constitutional challenges. So what you have is the state of Missouri, the legislature, listening to people and saying, whoa, 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 Sharia law isn't part of our Constitution. It's not part of our state constitution, not part of the United States Constitution. It shouldn't be used to determine any legal rulings. And now you have an agent of the federal government saying, oh, well, don't worry about that. We'll make sure Sharia law gets put into place here somehow. This is what the self jihadis want. They want to use every means necessary to get Sharia law into place as much as they can into this country. They want to dominate the globe. They're like the communists, where they do not want to get along with us and have pizza parties and Snickers bar after. They want to dominate and rule us. Seated in front of a large Muslim audience during a town hall style meeting at the Baldwin Mosque, Callahan anchored a panel that included fellow federal attorneys, one of whom was a Muslim American, as well as three members of the FBI. The tenor of the night was polite and respectful, but several members of the crowd expressed anger over what they perceived to be rising trends of Islamophobia in America over the past couple of years, citing people burning the Quran in communities, banning mosques as examples. There is a worse kind of Muslim hatred recently, said Adil Imdad, one of the event's organizers. Especially in the last 2 years, Islamophobia and fear-mongering have been spreading like wildfire, and it's causing a lot of stress for youth. The problem is now hitting a little closer to home, said Imdad, pointing to three bills currently circulating through the state legislature that seek to limit Sharia law, Islamic law, in Missouri courts. Sharia law could come into play in rulings considering child custody or prisoner rights for Muslims. And now these bills are sources of controversy because basically radical Muslims don't want us to do crazy things like, you know, run our own lives, basically. They want to have Sharia law, the law of this land. It's no secret, folks. It's no secret. That is their desire. That is their long-held desire, to have Sharia law in place here. And Sharia law, you understand that under Sharia law, gay people are beheaded, adulterers are beheaded, people who drink alcohol, whipped, lashed. You understand this. Women are not allowed to have, well, women are treated like third or fourth class citizens. They're treated more like slaves than anything else. What place does Sharia law have here in our courts? Where the hell is the ACLU? You would think of the first mention of any religion being used in any court, federal, state, whatever, you think the ACLU would be parachuting in those lawyers, wouldn't you? I haven't heard anything from them about it. Maybe it's just Christian religion they hate. But again, the Christian religion, I don't really want the law of old Israel being the law of Moses. I don't want that being used, frankly. We have laws. We're a secular nation. Yes, we're a Christian people, overwhelmingly. But we're a nation with a secular government. A Christian nation with a secular government, I think that's the best way to put it. And Sharia law certainly should never be welcome here in our courts or anywhere else. Now, music time, folks. I'll be back later. Enjoy.
Listen to the wind blow.
And we're back, my friends. Fleetwood Mac, The Chain, great song, great album, Rumors. One of the best albums of all time, one of the greatest bands of all time. Love Fleetwood Mac. A lot of their stuff is just absolutely classic, classic, classic. Now, before the musical break, I talked about those willing to, and our government's willing to surrender to Sharia law now, in the name of appeasement. And I want you to understand what radical Muslims are. I mean, here's a great example. You have a young woman, a Muslim actress, who chose to pose for a German edition of Playboy, Sila Sahin. Ed Daly put the pictures up on my site, thedailygator.wordpress.com. Generally, I have a lot of... I have a Daily Babe, I have Attractive Women, because that brings traffic into blogs and people read the other stuff. But I generally do not allow nudity. However, the pictures are posted because if they're so offensive to these radical Muslim bastards, good. I want to offend these cretins as much as I possibly can. And this young woman is quite attractive. I've actually looked at the pictures 87 times. And that's the in-depth, that's how in-depth I'm willing to get to bring you the best show possible. I know what you women are thinking right now. You pervert, you dog. Excuse me, I'm a man, I'm a heterosexual, I was born this way. But this Muslim actress, Sila Sahin, chose to pose this German edition of Playboy, pose nude. Now the Sun reports that she has been branded a whore and a Western slut after appearing topless on the cover of the German edition of the men's magazine. And Islamic fanatics have posted threatening internet messages. Now, the Sun is a UK paper. Kudos to them for actually using the term Islamic fanatics. Thank you. I wish American media types were that brave. Sila, raised in Germany by conservative Turkish parents, says she fears being spat at and shamed. Her parents are said to have reacted with horror at the 12-page coverage, and her mother has apparently cut off all contact. Now, I can understand a parent being upset if their kid did that, but to cut off all contact with your child over that? Sila, who is 25... star of the German soap Good Times, Bad Times, claimed the shoot was a reaction to the slavery of her youth. She added, "What I want to say with these photos is, girls, we don't have to live according to the rules imposed upon us. In other words, screw Sharia law. Screw radical Muslims. Screw radical Islam. For years, I subordinated myself to various societal constraints. The Playboy photo shoot was a total act of liberation." Now, you can judge the girl who posed nude for whatever. You approve, you disapprove. This is about something bigger. But Islamic internet sites, the Sun reports, are being monitored by the BND, that's the German intelligence agency, after threats were posted about her shaming Muslim womanhood and prostituting herself for money. One poster on the Jihad Watch website wrote, "She needs to be very careful." Another simply said, "She must pay." A kebab shop owner asked on German TV what he would do if Sila were his daughter, replied, "I would kill her. I really mean that. That doesn't fit with my culture." So posing naked in Playboy, again, approve or disapprove, let's see this from a moral position. Posing nude in Playboy or killing your child, which is worse? I don't think we need a lot of time to think that over if we're not morally retarded, ass-backwards, Sharia law proponents. Now, the Islamic communities of Germany have called for a boycott of Sila. I'm not boycotting her. I'm going to look at these pictures even more now just to piss them off. About 3 million Muslim immigrants live in Germany. There have been numerous honor killings in recent years by fanatical husbands, fathers, and brothers. That's when a woman, a sister, a daughter, whatever, acts in a way that the douchebag radical Muslim doesn't approve of, and they kill the child, they kill the girl, the woman. In 2009, an asylum seeker was sentenced to life after killing his too independent, German wife. How dare that bitch try to be independent? One police intelligence officer said of Sila, I think what she did was either very brave or very stupid. She will be double locking her doors at night for a long time to come. Now, folks, this girl has rebelled against radical Islam. Now, you may not care for the way she chose to do it, but you have to admire her courage, and you have to look at it for what it is. It's an example of the stark differences. I mean, look, if a woman poses nude in Playboy here, Christians will say you shouldn't do that. That's immoral, the woman's body and all that. But what do radical Muslims do? They want to kill her. That's why Sharia law can never, ever, 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 ever be allowed to be implemented here in any form or fashion. It is evil, it is destitute of any moral good, and it cannot be tolerated in this country. Ever. Now let's talk about Jimmy Carter, something else we probably should have never tolerated in this country. I've given him an honor on my blog, The Daily Gator. From time to time, I have a Marxist moron of the day. And Jimmy Carter has been named Marxist moron for the ages. In other words, the stupidest man who's ever drawn breath. And I wrote on my blog, my goodness, Jimmy Carter really is the ultimate moral retardation, isn't he? Only he would travel to a Stalinist regime, North Korea, where gulags still exist. A country so bad that its peoples try to escape to communist China. Only Jimmy Carter would travel there and bash America and South Korea. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter said Thursday that North Korean leader, Kim Jong-il, little Kim as I call him, wants direct talk with South Korea's leader, an offer unlikely to be accepted, and still Pyongyang takes responsibility for violence that killed 50 South Koreans last year. Carter didn't address the case of Won Young-soo, a Korean-American being held in North Korea, reportedly on charges of carrying out missionary activity. Now, Jimmy Carter doesn't give a damn about this guy who is trying to talk to people about his religion. Being in prison in North Korea, Jimmy Carter couldn't give a damn less about him. Screw him. He's not a Marxist. He's not a dictator, so Jimmy Carter has no interest in kissing his ass. But you try to get Jimmy Carter's lips off the ass of the nearest dictator, you're going to need a crowbar. Trust me. Carter didn't address that case. He had said earlier he would not raise the case, though the former president flew to North Korea last year to free another American jailed in Pyongyang. Must have been a leftist that was in prison, and Carter cared then. Carter started Thursday's news conference off by offering condolences for those killed in last year's attacks, an apparent nod to criticism that he has glossed over the deaths in past dealings with the North. Well, hasn't he? You're in the country that carried out this barbarity. And you're basically attacking not the country that did these acts or is holding people in prisons for no reason. No, you're attacking the country it attacked, basically. But he also likely angered many in Seoul and Washington by criticizing their food aid policies. Carter said that for the United States and South Korea to deliberately withhold food aid to the North Korean people because of political or military issue not related is really indeed a human rights violation. People starving in North Korea would have nothing to do with the Stalinist regime there, would it, Jimmy? No, you don't think they can get food? Jimmy Carter, how stupid are you? Seriously, a dictator could tell Jimmy Carter that his name was Ronald Reagan, he would believe the dictator. He is this devoid of any brain activity. This guy is the ultimate appeasocrat. Neville Chamberlain would be stunned at how much Jimmy Carter tries to appease evil. He is completely devoid of any rational thought, my friends. He is an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment. Now, speaking of embarrassments, there's a a man who had my quote of the day for my blog just the other day. The quote was this: I only voted for him because he was black. I can hear liberals, oh, gee, he's going to say something racist now. He's going to expose what a racist he is. Now, Laura Ingraham on her show interviewed National Black Chamber of Commerce CEO Harry Alford. And Harry Alford has some interesting things. He voted for Barack Obama. He was a big Obama guy back in 2008 when he ran for office. Alford said he voted for Obama because he was black. And that's it. He also said it was the worst mistake of his life and a lesson he'll take to his grave. He also added that hope was part of the reason he voted for Obama, but then referring to Obama's policies, he said what I think would be a great campaign slogan: hope isn't hiring, hope isn't lowering the price of gasoline. In other words, Barack Obama's empty suit. He even referred to Obama as a Marxist, and even threw in the brown shirt word. Now, this guy will be castigated by the left, who called Uncle Tom a sellout, an Oreo, blah, blah, blah. A slave to the white Republicans. He'll be called all those things. But as I wrote on my blog, it's funny. The left rails against anyone who dares question or criticize Obama and labels them a racist. Yet they forget two very prominent facts. First, millions upon millions of white people voted for Obama. He would never have won if they had not. And many of those people now have turned against him. So have they become racist after voting for Obama? Second, they totally ignore the number of black Americans who voted for Obama for one reason: his skin color. Remember the bumper stickers after Obama won? We did it. On cars run by black people. We did what? We elected a black man. I heard black person after black person say that it's time we had a black president. Nothing else mattered. His skin color mattered. If you want to castigate somebody on race, go after those people. Go after people who voted for him because of his skin color. A lot of white people did the same thing too. Go after them. Don't go after people who criticize his policies and his ideals on substantive issues. Now, there may be one good thing here. I think many Americans of all colors have seen just how empty a suit they voted for. And in the end, maybe the best thing Obama has done is to show black Americans that conservative ideals are far better for everyone, regardless of skin color, than the radical leftist ideology of Obama and the Democrats. Now, the global warming, the climate change scam, the hoaxers, the tornadoes in Alabama, Georgia, all across South Tennessee, Mississippi, Virginia, over 250 killed, I believe it was. I wondered, as I looked at the story Thursday at work about these tornadoes, I wondered how long it would take the left to blame climate change, global warming. Well, one of my favorite blogs, Yid with Lid, I also did a very extensive blog post here. But just when you think they can't come up with anything else, the global warming hoaxers unveil something new in their attempt to scare the public into believing their global redistribution of income scheme. And that's what it ultimately is. I'll get to that in a moment. The latest claim is those horrible, massive tornadoes which caused over 200 deaths in America this week were spurred by global warming. Now, this claim was quickly refuted by both FEMA and the NOAA Storm Prediction Centers, among others. Peter Gleit, who's a president of the Pacific Institute, wrote in the Huffington Post about the connection between tornadoes and climate change, because tornadoes never happened before there were SUVs, you know. Never. Violent tornadoes throughout the southeastern U.S. must be a front-page reminder that no matter how successful climate deniers are in confusing the public or delaying action on climate change in Congress or globally, the science is clear. Our climate is worsening. Where is the connection exactly? I mean, they blame hurricanes, volcanoes, tsunamis, bad breath. They blame everything on global warming. There's no connection, though. He continues, Gleit does, more extreme and violent climate is the direct consequence of human-caused climate change. whether or not we can determine if these particular tornado outbreaks were caused or worsened by climate change. Wait! You just said, Mr. Gleick, that this caused it. Climate change, global warming, evil capitalists caused this. Then you say we can't determine if these tornadoes, so only certain tornadoes are caused by global warming, other tornadoes aren't. Do tornadoes have minds of their own and they get read about global warming, they get pissed off, like, I'm going to go kill some people in Alabama. And other tornadoes go, I don't care about global warming, I just want to go kill some people in Georgia. What kind of moron are you, Mr. Gleick? And what kind of moron would you have to be to believe the tripe this idiot writes? There is a reason, Gleick continues, it isn't called global warming anymore. That's because that name was exposed as a big fat lie, and you had to try to fool the masses by saying climate change. Let's change the word. They'll never know. Higher temperatures are only one, and not the most worrisome, of the consequences of climate change. It'll be something else next month. It'll be ice ages or this. It's a scam, folks. It's a scam. He's trying to scare you. That's what all these people do. USA Today used two studies from 2007 to make a link between climate change and tornadoes and bad weather, excuse me. As with any major weather disaster these days, from floods and hurricanes to wildfires and this week's tornado outbreak in the South, people ask questions about its relation to the huge elephant that's lurking in the corner, global climate change. Two separate studies in 2007 reported that global warming could bring a dramatic increase in the frequency of weather conditions that feed severe thunderstorms and tornadoes by the end of the 21st century. Well, first place, it's not the end of the 21st century. It's 2011. It's the beginning of the 21st century. But both studies make the same mistake in their prediction, Yed writes. As a matter of fact, most of the warming climate change hysteria comes from the same source. They use computer models. Computer models are a great tool, but only as good as the data entered into the model. You need to have some observational data. It is the equivalent of a weather forecaster who makes his predictions of sunshine based totally on what the forecast computer says, but never bothers to stick his head outside where he could find out it's raining. Now think progress, the George Soros-inspired blog, a part of the Center for American Progress, had this to say, given that global warming is unequivocal. Now wait, I thought Mr. Gleick said we couldn't call it global warming anymore because it's really climate change, but think progress hasn't progressed that far to know that. You leftist idiots should really get on the same page with your rhetoric and lies. Climate scientist Kevin Trenberth cautioned the American Meteorological Society in January of this year, the null hypothesis should be all that weather events are affected by global warming, rather than the inane statements along the lines of course we cannot attribute any particular weather event to global warming. The congressional delegations of these states, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, Virginia, and Kentucky, overwhelmingly voted to reject the science that polluting the climate is dangerous. They're deliberately ignoring the warnings from scientists. That's what Think Progress writes. So it's the legislatures of these states that caused the tornado. I thought it was global warming. I mean, climate change. But these people that Think Progress think it's pollution. So it's a pollution climate change. It used to be called global warming, but you can't call it global warming anymore because it's climate change. Or is it the state legislatures of these southern states that caused, well, again, go back. We don't even know if the tornadoes actually were caused by that. These tornadoes might not have been, but others are. You see how much bullshit this is? It's like the kid who tells a lie, then another lie, and keeps trying to cover the last lie with a new lie. The lies don't get newer and better. They get worse. Now, what do actual scientists say about this? The connection between these tornadoes and global warming, excuse me, climate change, pollution, whatever. Greg Carbon, the warning coordination meteorologist at NOAA's Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, said warming trends do create more of the fuel that tornadoes require, such as moisture, but that they also deprive tornadoes of another essential ingredient, wind shear. "We know we have a warming going on," Carbon told Fox News in the interview. But he added, "There really is no scientific consensus or connection between global warming and tornadic activity. Jumping from a large-scale event like global warming to a relatively small-scale events like tornadoes is a huge leap across a variety of scales. Ask if climate change should be acquitted in a jury trial were to stand charged with responsibility for tornadoes," Carbon said. "I would say that it is the right verdict, yes, because there's no direct connection as yet established between the two." In other words, there's no connection. Grady Dixon, assistant professor of meteorology and climatology at Mississippi State University, had this to say: "If you look at the past 60 years of data, the number of tornadoes is increasing significantly. But it's agreed upon by the tornado community," there's a tornado community, "that it's not a real increase. It's having to do with better weather tracking technology, more population, the fact that the population is better educated and more aware, so we're seeing them more often. But," he said, "it would be a terrible mistake to relate the uptick to climate change." Craig Fugit, administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also dismissed Thursday's climate change as a factor in the deadly tornadoes. "Actually, what we're seeing is springtime," he said. "Many people think of Oklahoma as Tornado Alley and forget that the southeast United States actually has a history of longer and more powerful tornadoes that stay on the ground longer. That's a huge difference that the left is forgetting, the propagandists are forgetting." And folks, this is all about money. I said that. This is why they're trying to scare people. They're trying to blame everything possible on global warming. And it is phenomenal what they've tried. Now, the fact is that the drive toward global warming legislation in the U.S. and indeed throughout the whole world has nothing to do with the environment. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Otmar Edenhofer, who's the former co-chair of the IPCC's Working Group 3 and lead author of the IPCC's Fourth Assessment Report released in 2007. Now, the IPCC is a UN's organization formed to format or to push the climate change theory. This is his words, one of the big guys that was behind this. "But one must say clearly that we redistribute de facto the world's wealth by climate policy. Obviously, the owners of coal and oil will not be enthusiastic about this. One has to free oneself from the illusion that international climate policy is environmental policy. This has almost nothing to do with an environmental policy anymore. It's about redistributing wealth. It's about power and money." Now, before I close, quick sex story. There's a gym, a Spanish gym, struggling for business in northern Spain. It's enticing new customers by offering nude workout sessions, making it the first country to target naturists looking to get into shape. Liberal-minded customers in northern town of, another word I can't pronounce, in northern Spain, are invited to burn calories in the buff at Easy Gym. Isn't that a dangerous combination? Naked workouts at the Easy Gym? I think we know what's going on there. And the radical Muslims wouldn't approve of that either. Which provides towels for comfort and to prevent slippage of the equipment. Don't want your equipment slipping. You know, that could be bad stuff. And there's another very humorous story. Naked man has shinned down a drain pipe as police raid a brothel he was visiting. One moment, he was just an anonymous punter in a backstreet brothel. The next, he's in a nude hanging off a drain pipe after police burst into the brothel he was using in eastern China. As the doors were smashed down, the customer, leaving his clothes behind, ran onto the roof of the rundown apartment block in Changkun, Jilin province. And there are some very disturbing pictures of him hanging, as they used to say, butt-ass naked. Why do men visit brothels? You know bad things are going to happen. Your wife will find out. Your girlfriend will find out. If you're caught, you're going to get in trouble. You get the frying pan upside the head. Or you're going to get arrested, have a criminal record. Of course, if you're Barney Frank, you'll get elected to Congress. But friends, that is my show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Remember the Chatango. Remember the Chimpsy Radio Facebook page. Remember my blog, thedailygator.wordpress.com. Make sure to be here next Monday night. Some more good stuff for you. Good night. God bless. We'll talk to you next week.